Paul Dustin Byfuglien, good to go?
Yeah, he's in.
For Kulikov?
Yes.
What did you see from Lemieux in his season debut?
I liked what he was trying to do. He tried to get pucks from the walls to the net. He was strong down low without running around. Like I said, I still think there's more that that line can do offensively. I think they can create more, but I like that piece on that line as a complement to the other two players.
What's caught your attention about the Canucks in the early portion of the season here?
I liked their game last year. So they came in early last year, and they played a heck of a game in here, I thought. And then they got all those injuries, and it really, it's tough to compete in the league, whether you're sitting in the one hole or at the bottom, when you had the injuries they suffered through. But I to me, and they've had personnel, major personnel change, but it's the same game that they started playing last year, except they're a little further along in their program. Really quick. This one will look a lot more like Carolina did. Real good sticks, straight line, awful lot of speed, move it quick. It would be closer to the style of game that New Jersey plays, some of the very, very quick teams. So this is going to be a tough one.
Just one last one on housekeeping. Sherratt back with Byfuglien?
Yes.
Thanks.
Paul, it seemed like anybody would want to be playing in the middle of Patrick Laine and Nikolaj Ehlers, but what are the challenges or what are the responsibilities that centerman needs to have in order to be successful with those guys?
So I think another way of phrasing what is chemistry is what is the nonverbal communication that happens on the ice with a line, and that all comes from what can you anticipate a player is going to do, and then all of a sudden they look fast, they put it into a hole, you hear things like, I know where he's going to be, all those kind of things. So you get two really young players that are still finding their game, defining their game, learning the NHL game, the Winnipeg Jets game, learning the opponents. So there's more inconsistency there in their game, which is true of every young player. The challenge as a center iceman then is to read off that. Juan O'Brien has always had a real healthy respect for just winning, right? Playing well defensively. He's not a guy who's real happy if he gets points, if they're on for a bunch of goals against. He's about winning. So he's learning that. I think the game in Nashville, and their next two, that line definitely is getting better. They're getting chances now where they weren't for a while. So it's not just throwing three guys out on the ice and deciding whether they have chemistry. We have to get them all to their A game, and then we'll see what they can generate off that.
It was interesting to hear Nick talk about when he played with Drouin and Halifax and how they never really played on a line together because they were two guys that both really wanted the puck all the time.
Yeah, I watched some of those games. Yeah, that was a good call.
Yeah, no kidding. What are the challenges? Is it because Nick and Patty want to play together? What is the challenges of making sure that there is enough puck to go around when you have two guys that both want the puck?
Well, the first is having the puck. This isn't an issue of them overhandling the puck. They're trying to be over. They don't have the puck enough for me off the basics of the game. When you look at offensive zone time by a line, there's not enough there. And that absolutely has started to come. So Sherratt's goal for me is that line's goal, and it very possibly could have been the two back-to-back game-winning goals. There's something there. We'll look at the individual stats and say we need to get more out of these players, and there's truth. I really like the structure of the two other lines that we have. I don't want to break them up. So if they can play the game that they've played, you know, in the Carolina game they had 5 or 6 A chances. That's a lot, and it's enough. So some nights you get one, it's a game winner, and some nights you have, with those players, we expect 3 or 4, and there's going to be nights where they don't get any. But it's there, it just has to be worked for. We've got to get them further along in their individual development so that we can assess that better.
Is it a lot to ask then for the wingers to play to Brian Little's style than it is for Brian? Because I think of it, I'm obviously not putting them in the same conversation, but if you look at a guy like Brett Hall in the past who played to his centerman and made him such a lethal shooter was because he kind of played to who was passing him the puck. Obviously, he had Adam Oates there for a long time, but I just mean in general, like, yeah. Is it a lot to ask a young guy who's not only young but is new to the North American game relatively to adjust to his.
Are we talking about Patty or Nick?
Yeah.
No, I think what Brett Hull had done so very well is find the holes in the center, found him. So he got to open ice all the time. And we're talking about a completely different game, right? If you're constantly finding open ice in the game today, you'll never touch the puck or help anybody in your line mate contain it. So Is it a lot to ask? No, that's what happens in the National Hockey League. You got to come in and learn your game. So Patty's a big, strong man that we believe can control the puck more, right? And Nick Ehlers can change a defense, like on the Ben Sherratt goal. Patty's at the net. It's Benny shooting. So he can change a defense with his speed. We'd like to see him. And Brian, I have felt, has been so conscious defensively with those two that he hasn't made as many plays that I think he's capable of making, or got into the holes like the game winner the other night. But on the game winner the other night against Carolina that Brian shoots, Nicky Ehlers is middle lane driving that net. So that's hockey basics. If he opens up as a left-hand shot there into Brian's hole, the puck doesn't get to the net. So there's some really, you know, basic things that some of this becomes repetition after, where they just do the basics and then their skills come out at the end. They make that pass, they make that shot. We're still working on getting them into the basics.
This last one for me. When talk about, a lot of guys have talked about new team, new year. I look at the fourth line. Obviously, you got even a bit younger this year with Lou, yeah, and Vesalainen and such. When you talk about kind of getting that voice on the bench or that vibe back on the bench, is there a Matt Hendrick effect that's missing out, or is there a leadership thing at the bottom?
You know,
that leadership there.
There's two comments. The first one is we're going to have to get used to it, because this is the way our team is going to look, right? For when you look at what some of these younger and older players are going to command in salaries, we're going to have a very young entry level bottom part of our team. That's just a fact. And Matty Perreault has filled in nicely, sometimes in French, sometimes in English. But he's the guy, and so, you know, and then when that happens, though, right, so Adam Lowry's voice becomes more important in the room, and Mark Scheifele and some of those 25, 26-year-old guys who might have been a little bit quiet early on. I'm not expecting Vesalainen or Roslovic to be leading the cheer, but bring energy on the ice when they play.
I've talked with both Josh Morrissey and with you about Josh Morrissey and his potential offensive upside. I know it's a small sample size, but do you feel maybe we're seeing him take a big step forward in that regard? Or what are you seeing in regards to his game that's allowing him to be as offensive as he has been so far this year?
I really believe it was a natural progression for him. I don't feel that any part of his defensive game kept him from being offensive, but he was learning it. He didn't want to make a mistake at it, so he's not jumping into holes quite as often early on. And as these guys get more experience, he's going to find more holes, just like on the game winner. Neutral zone transition, have the confidence to take it down the wing. And we want to shoot pucks, but that's the right play. The seams there, he makes that play. So I think what you're seeing is just a natural progression. I do believe that Josh is going to put up big numbers in this league.
You bring up that goal. I was talking with him about it the other day, and he's in an instant, you know, he's describing to me how he saw everything. He saw Nick driving to the net.
Yep.
He saw Patrick drawing guys away, sees that kind of play develop. He said that in the offseason he really worked a lot on his awareness to be recognizing those kind of things,
right,
and putting himself, you know, physically in a position to be able to recognize that. Are you seeing signs of that?
I think if you're a really, really good defensive defenseman, you have to have really good reads on the ice. It used to be when we talked about these guys, they were all 6'2", 6'3", 220, and most of what they did was hurt people in the corner, right? They hated playing against them, the Stevens Danico model in New Jersey. Now we've got Josh Morris, so he's an outstanding defensive defenseman, and a big chunk of that is awareness, when to pinch up, when not to, you know, how to use your stick. You used to have a guy with really good awareness, but he didn't have the physical skills to be an offensive player. We used to have one guy on the blue line that'd pound the puck on the power play. The rest of them, they weren't rushing the puck. They weren't jumping into holes. So the awareness that he's had defensively says he has a great awareness for the game. His skill set with his feet and the hands that he has, he'll be able to use that awareness offensively. Again, I would go back to what I'd said earlier. This is just a natural progression for this guy, and he's going to keep getting better.